Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we're continuing a message, Only Believe and Thou Shalt See the Glory of God. And this week, we've been sharing from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 46, the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Beloved, perhaps the greatest tragedy mankind can experience is that of death. Remember, that was the warning that God the Father gave to Adam and Eve. He said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die. It wasn't physical death immediately. It was spiritual death, separation from the Lord, but also physical death. And this is the beauty and glory of what God has done for all of His children through Jesus Christ. In verse 22, hope was speaking. When Jesus said, do you believe the things I'm telling you, that whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die? Believest thou this? And as I shared, she answers with a proper theological answer, thou art the Christ. She didn't really answer because she was dealing with the very real fact that her brother was dead, not just at the moment, but already for 4 days he was in the tomb. And so hope was speaking. She knew that he was the Christ. She had faith in Jesus' power and compassion. I know, Lord, she was saying, whatever you would ask of God, God will give it thee. That's verse 22 in that chapter. But he wanted to demonstrate that by his word, he could work anything. And in verse 25 and 26, he was basically sharing, that was the testimony of the new covenant. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, and that's true spiritually, or even naturally, as he was going to demonstrate with Lazarus, he shall live. Whoever believeth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And he's speaking now of that, our eternal spirit, our soul. And also, we're going to have a new body, which will be at the last trump. We will receive the saints in heaven who've gone before. Those who are alive and remain will receive the same glorified body that Jesus did. So, he's speaking of the new covenant, the visit which he established in his blood. Remember the Last Supper? This is a new covenant I share with you in my blood. He was referring to physical resurrection of the body, and of course Martha knew that was true, as well as a spiritual resurrection, if you will, a freedom from all the effects of the curse, sin, and death. That's what the new covenant talks about. Our soul can experience blessed immortality, spiritual life, which is perfected and as we go on into eternity. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. And as we saw, Martha went through theological reasonings, if you will. She had an inability, which is so often the case for God's children, an inability to relate the Christ, who he is, theologically, spiritually, to the reality of her present life and needs. And that's why I'm sharing this, because the Lord wants to make us understand in ways and depths we haven't understood that he's able to speak life to where we are at right now. Praise God. In James, the first chapter, let me just turn to that, verses I want to read 2 through 4. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so, what Jesus was, this was a test of faith for them. That verse 39, Jesus was saying that, do you really believe that I'm able to do this? Take away the stone. And of course, Martha, she's not there. She said, Lord, she was trying to discourage him because he's stinking by now. He's been there 4 days. If you believe your brother will rise again and that I am the resurrection and the life, then roll away the stone. Beloved, this is a beautiful example in the old covenant, if you will, in terms of Jesus hadn't arisen from the dead. Faith without works is dead. James said, I will show you my faith by my works. If we desire to expect great things from God, then we will attempt great things for God. We'll move out in action. And the language of doubt and human reasoning, that's verse 39, beloved. They knew that Jesus had answers. Take away the stone. And then her response is, but this, it's too late, Lord. You didn't get here when we really needed you to come while he was still alive. And we see that language of doubt and human reasoning. That's what she was expressing. Martha looked at the reality, quote, of the situation. She looked at the difficulty more than the promise, more than what Jesus was trying to convey to her. And beloved, so often our eyes are so often on the dead things, on the dead vision, the dead hope, the dead faith, if you will, rather than the life-giving one. Isn't this why so many of us fail to see the glory of the Lord's power in our personal lives? We see with natural eyes, just like the Israelites. They had seen the miracles of God in Egypt. They were delivered, and yet only when the 10 spies were sent into the land to spy out the land, the 10 just saw the giants. It was Joshua and Caleb who said, we are more than able. We are able to take the land, even if there were giants there. And so when we look around at our lives, we see unsaved family, we see friends who are just lost, or perhaps they're backslidden. They once walked with God. Whoever they are, those that we care about in spiritual death or physical illness, we are compassionate. We mourn their sad condition. But so often we see it as hopeless because, like Mary and Martha, we've not fixed our eyes on him who is the resurrection and the life. That's the purpose of this story. And there is a tender rebuke of love. Jesus said in verse 40 to the sisters, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? How much are we being deprived of the glory of God, beloved, because we are not walking fully in the faith that God has given us, that we know without a shadow of a doubt, we would never turn from the Lord. We know he is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, have we experienced the fullness? I'm just presenting questions I'm asking myself, asking you. Have we really walked in the fullness that God has for us? Beloved, doubt is not an infirmity. It's a sin. It's a denial of the word of him who cannot lie. The Holy Spirit, beloved, must convince of sin before he quickens into newness of life. Isn't that true when someone comes to the Lord for salvation? They have to realize they are a sinner. They have a need of a Savior. And the same is true for us. In order to experience that greater place, that greater abundance, the fullness of that abundant life Jesus has promised us. Now, if any of you out there, you're walking in the fullness, you're walking in that abundant life that God has given you, you can just, go to another channel. But I'm convinced that we have not yet entered. I mean, the disciples of Jesus were with him for 3 years. And look at the problems they had. They saw the miracles. They saw Jesus walking on the water to them when they were in the boat and the Sea of Galilee was being tossed and storm-driven and the wind was blowing hard and the waves were tumultuous. They saw the miracles. He said, "Peace be still." And all of a sudden, everything got quiet. My goodness, they saw the miracles. They saw the dead raised. And yet, they dealt with unbelief. They dealt with the same things because it is a process, beloved. We are mortal creatures. We have not enjoyed the fellowship with the Father, with God, that Adam and Eve did in the beginning. Their minds were not darkened when sin entered, and that's why Jesus came, to destroy the effects not only of sin, but the effects of the fall, of death, of all the things that the fellowship, that disobedience brought to the human race, to every ancestor of Adam and Eve, and everyone is included in that. We have the opportunity to say yes to God. And if sickness must bring us down to a place of death, that the Son of God may be glorified in doing a marvelous work in us and for us, praise God. Our understanding, our expectations, there could be a death, not just physical death. There could be our hopes, the things we'd wanted to see in our lives. We'd really been believing God, we thought, but we haven't experienced the things that we had laid before the throne of God. Is it over? Is it done? Jesus said, "If you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Well, there's a few more things I want to share, and we can pick this up next week. If you are in a place of spiritual darkness, if you will, not in terms of your salvation, but in terms of questions and spiritual warfare, please feel free to write. I sometimes think you have, the ministers have to go through stuff before we can really be effective in preaching and praying the prayer of faith, because Jesus, he knows the human heart. And so I invite you to write. I thank you for joining me this week. Thank you for your prayer support. And God bless you for your prayers in my behalf and for doing what you can that we can remain on this station. Thank you for your giving. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.